We're counting the time to Valentine's Day, and we want to encourage you to pause and enjoy the simple moments with your spouse every day, but especially on that one, of course. How can you do that when it feels like your schedule keeps getting crowded with more and more activities? I'm John Fuller, and welcome to another episode of the Loving Well podcast. Joining me once again are Greg and Aaron Smalley. They lead our marriage department here at the ministry, and both of you are some of the busiest people I know. I mean, Greg, you have done so much, and Aaron, I'm in awe because you write, you speak, you run the household, you work full-time, you're doing your doctoral. With everything going on, is this the busiest time you can remember?
Yes. Okay. It's interesting because I would say starting in May when I started my doctorate, we moved my dad here. Taylor, our daughter, got married. Garrison graduating from college. Annie had surgery. And so it is, and I'm working and trying to keep the house up.
Travel. Podcast.
Yes.
And I'm needy. So, I mean, you know, pleasing me is a full-time job as well.
Not really. You're actually quite low maintenance. But it's just been a lot all at once. And honestly, like, there's been times I've gone, God, really? Like, is it possible? And what I will say is he continues to multiply time. And depending on him making sure that we're both plugged into him and plugged into the true source so we can accomplish what he has before us each and every day. And there's simple ways that we have stayed connected through this. And I would say one of the biggest ones is he's my cheerleader. I'm his cheerleader. And whatever's on the plate for the day, the other one is on the sideline going, you can do this. You got it. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, that's a wonderful thing to have that unity in the tough times.
Yeah. And I think for me, what's been interesting is as Erin is doing her doctorate, is just me learning new ways to serve. Because there's been things that historically, like, for example, you know, Erin's a former nurse. And so when it comes to medical stuff or medical appointments for our kids, it's always made sense. That's kind of her thing. Mm-hmm. Like she gets that at a level that I would never understand it. So part of what I've been trying to do is take those off of her plate. And again, it blows my brain how frustratingly difficult just schedules and appointments and trying to get Annie to whichever appointment. And it helps me understand and appreciate Aaron even more of going, gosh, I didn't even realize I thought that was so easy. You just did it so well. You never complained. And so it's given me new ways to help serve her. And it's given me many more examples of why I'm so thankful and appreciate her. Like it's just being aware of, wow, you know, learning to try to cook more. I mean, just all those things that Aaron's just done for all these years silently. It's just, I just go, man, you're amazing. Like, I don't see how you did all that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been a choice. I'm sure it hasn't always been easy. And there have been times when you've felt like,
Oh, yeah, of course.
So we're going to hear now from Courtney Ellis, who shared about a situation where she realized that she was not investing in her family and she had a cluttered life and she needed to do something. And here now is Courtney talking with Focus President Jim Daly.
You'll be so proud of us. So our boys are now in their 20s, and we finally got rid of the toy box in the basement. I mean, it was a massive toy box that had, we did keep the Nerf guns, but everything else out the door.
You have to keep the Nerf
and,
stuff.
And I was thinking, wow, I think it's about time. This is good. Yeah. So Gene took the bull by the horns and got that taken care of. In a serious way, a few years ago, you were experiencing panic attacks. How did that connect to, you know, unclutter?
I was. So my husband and I have been in California now for 9 years, but we moved from Wisconsin where we lived in this big old farmhouse next door to the church, and it was massive. And then we moved into a California condo, and we brought most of our stuff. And stuff can have effects on your spirit, effects on your emotional health, and living in this cluttered place really started to get to me. And the stuff was part of it. My overstuffed schedule was part of it. But I began to feel like I almost couldn't breathe because my life had too much in it.
That's a serious moment. I mean, again, a lot of people might, let me speak for myself. I mean, I could discount that. I can feel like, oh, I'm not breathing. But I don't necessarily know why. You know, and to connect that to your overstressed schedule, your clutter, all that. How did you make that connection that this is, I think, what's causing me this problem?
Yeah, my husband and I had a conversation one night where I said, I just feel like it's too much. And he said, what is too much? And
yeah,
I said, all
right.
of it. All of it yeah. is too much.
That's
the
helpful.
Stuff, the schedule, the amount that we've crammed into our life at the point of when I started writing this book, we had one child, now we have three. And it was just overwhelming. And so we didn't know where to start. So we started by stopping. We
what?
Stopped buying new things. We stopped putting things on the calendar that weren't absolutely essential.
Yeah.
You still do, you know, have to go to the dentist. I recommend it. Keep that appointment.
Well, let's get into that a bit to be practical for the people that are going, okay, you convinced me, I'm one of them. What's the process that you use to declutter? And the big question, your husband and your kids on board with this? I could see your kids going, no, Mommy, I like that toy. Give it back to me, Mommy.
Oh,
Mommy,
wait.
Don't throw that away.
For sure. We've had that conversation 6,000 times. And you can't really go in and declutter your kids' rooms without their permission, or
Good.
That will be really rough on them. And every marriage tends to have one saver of things and one tosser of things. And so there will be tension there as well. I have tried to throw out my husband's high school prom fancy shoes. We've been married 16 years now, at least 16 times, and they keep making their way out of the Goodwill
oh my
pile.
Gosh.
So you start with yourself. You start with your own closet, your own possessions, your own schedule. And what happened was, as I started to have less, do less, experience the freedom that God offers when we're not overburdened, my husband was like, I think I'm interested. Tell me about that. I think I'm interested in some of that.
And bro, let it go, man. Get rid
right?
of the shoes.
And the same was true with our children. And part of it for children is instilling generosity in them. We had a conversation about, look how many toys you have. There are other kids who could use toys, would need toys. We have friends who are going to adopt a foster child, and they have girls. They're adopting a boy. We have boys. We have boy toys. They said, could you spare some? And of course, they first go to the broken things, the things they don't like. And we say, what toys would you want to play with? And so to begin that conversation with them where it's not we're clearing it all out, which as a mom, when I get overwhelmed, that's the temptation. But instead to say, could you maybe pick five things today that we could gift to this family?
That's really good. And that's kind of that process of beginning to declutter or unclutter.
Well, I so love the honesty from Courtney on some of those things that she faced during a busy season, during several busy seasons. And it might be difficult for you and your spouse to breathe, to get time to enjoy date nights, but you can always take a second or two to pray with or for your spouse. Jody Berndt is passionate about couples praying together, and here she is discussing some of the lessons she's learned about the power of prayer.
Let me ask you this. You're mentioning the multifaceted part of life. You start as a dating your husband, and then you marry, then eventually kids come, and you're a different person in all those settings, obviously. When you got married, what was your prayer life like? And then where did it go? So many times as authors and speakers and communicators, people think, oh, they just had it down. They got it. And it's really not true.
Yeah.
And it's so important to debunk that. I mean, you're writing out of experience what didn't work probably,
yeah. Yeah.
What was causing you maybe some pain or frustration. So just describe that journey from what it was as
yeah.
that first Jody to the 37th Jody.
Well, you know, and it is continuing to evolve, and God is continuing to teach and train, and he's so filled with grace, which I so appreciate. But, you know, I think certainly for Robbie and me in our shared prayer life, that's been a little bit of a mountain to climb, because as husbands and wives, as men and women, we approach prayer differently. I like to use a prayer journal. I'm fond of praying out loud. He's very good at praying in his head. He doesn't need to write everything down to remember it. And so for us to have that shared connection, we've had to being kind of intentional and mm-hmm. just say, you know what, let's take my hand and let's just pray about whatever it is that's concerning us. And it might be, like, for anybody listening who thinks, oh, wow, Jody and Robbie have this deep and intimate, wonderful, long-term prayer life, we might pray for 3 or 5 minutes about something. And, you know, I have these things on my website that are 31-day prayer calendars that just have one verse, because I'm so all about making prayer doable. And I think sometimes when you just take one verse, like 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, may your love increase and overflow for each other. You know, if you're feeling a little tension in your marriage, maybe you just spit that one out. God, help our love increase and overflow for each other. And you've prayed. you know, so I think it can be simple like that.
In that way, expectations can be different.
Mm-hmm.
At any phase of your marriage, newlywed, midterm, late-term marriage, right? So how do you express those expectations in a way that is helpful, not harmful?
You know, expectations are big things. And for any newlywed or engaged couples who are listening, and us oldiewed too, but I just think that you need to leave room for the fact that you're coming with different backgrounds. You know, Robbie and I got married, and I had a dad who helped out a lot in the kitchen. He would go purchase the groceries.
He was,
and you know, most girls can say, my daddy, you know, a lot of girls can. And then the poor husband comes in and he doesn't do everything exactly like daddy did, or he does it differently. And so that definitely created some tension for us. And I'm sure he's thinking the same thing. Hey, you're not getting up early before breakfast, before I get out of bed and have the hot breakfast ready like my mom did. You know, we come in with these different expectations. And I remember talking to the Lord early on saying, can't you fix Robbie? You know, can't you make him more like my dad? And it was really sweet because God said, Jody, you know what? If you'll just quit nagging and if you will trust me, I can shape him into a husband that is above and beyond anything you could create or dream up, even if I gave you a blank check. And I said, okay, I'm gonna trust you. And I wish I could say I stopped nagging forever. I didn't. But what God did in that moment as an answer to that prayer, the very next day, and he doesn't always answer prayers this quickly, but the very next day, we'd been married 9 months, maybe a year, he walked into the kitchen. He said, is there anything I can do to help with dinner? And I burst into tears. And poor Robbie's probably thinking, wait a minute, I thought you're crying when I'm not helping, and now I'm helping and you're crying.
Can't win.
But God has just been wonderful in terms of shaping both of us to be the person the other person needs, and it's not at all like what we expected. I would say it's better.
What a great story from Jody about how God worked in her husband's heart. And Greg and Aaron, when those busy seasons of life come, how does praying for each other help you stay connected?
Oh, it's so important. And first and foremost, it creates that spiritual connection between Greg and I, and it brings God into the mix. And that empowers us. That can encourage just a empty, exhausted heart. It also strengthens our emotional bond. So not only spiritual connection, but an emotional connection. It reduces our stress levels, as well as it keeps us current, because when we pray, we're vulnerable and we're talking about like what's happening inside of us. Those things that maybe you don't notice on the outside, but the feelings we're experiencing on the inside, you know, I'm really stressed out, or I'm really sad, or I'm really encouraged, whatever's going on the inside, we're talking about those things when we pray. So it's such a window into our heart, into what's really happening.
Mm-hmm. And how do you encourage, I'll turn this one to you, Greg, how do you encourage somebody to pray if they've just not been in the habit? I mean, do you need a formal prayer? Is there a place to go to find a prayer? What does it have to look like, if it has to look like anything in particular?
Yeah, it really doesn't need to look like anything specific. And so we just always encourage people, it feels intimidating or it feels awkward. Just maybe the simplest way to do this is just to ask each other, what's one thing that I could pray for you about that's going on tomorrow? And even last night, Aaron and I did this. And what I love about it is that it gives me a quick glimpse, a window into what she's facing that maybe I'm not aware of or I'm not thinking about. And so even for her going, I've got a couple tough clients tomorrow. And then that always leads to, what specifically then you want me to pray for you about with those tough clients? Mm-hmm. And for her then to give a couple things, I've learned something. My understanding has grown. I'm current and updated on what's going on in her life. And that's a beautiful side benefit of praying. So Aaron and I always just say, pick a consistent time. For us, it seems to just work out the best at the end of the night as we both are laying there in bed. As a matter of fact, that was one of sort of our new year resolutions, that we really want to pay attention to keeping our cell phones face down. Oh. Yeah, I mean, it serves as our alarms and all that. So, but the point is, instead of going to those first, what if we go to each other first, catch up, talk, but then make sure that we're praying together.
Yeah.
But if you want to really even level up your prayer, pick another couple and start to pray for them. And you don't even have to know what's going on. Just say, God, bring a couple to our mind. It actually, you know, a cool thing that we have here at Focus on the Family, and we have our Hope Restored Marriage Intensive Program. So every week we've got, you know, hundreds of couples going through this. And you could sign up. We'll put a link here in the show notes to our prayer list. And all you do is you just say, hey, I want to be a part of praying for these couples. You know, do that once a week. Hmm. We'll give you an email, no names. It'll give you the names of our therapists and then how many intensives are going on. And then you guys as a couple can pray for these other couples.
That's a great idea.
We're showing up.
I love that.
Not sure this is going to work. Yeah. It's a last ditch effort. We're nervous. Boy, just... what if we had 50,000 people praying for these couples every week? I mean, imagine how cool that would be. So things like that, it doesn't have to be complicated. Pick a regular time and then just what can we pray for each other about? And then pick another couple and do that together and watch how God will use that in your marriage.
Yeah, I love that. And certainly Dina and I have found exactly what you were talking about earlier. Just one thing is a kind of a glimpse into the soul.
Right.
It's a top of mind. This is what really is on my heart right now. So it's a great way to stay connected. And our free marriage assessment is online, and it addresses spiritual practices and communication and sexuality in marriage and money and so much more. And it's a free assessment. It'll take you just a few minutes to fill it out. And you'll appreciate the talking points you get from that time invested in the marriage assessment. We'll also link over to that, as well as those prayer reminders from Focus about our Hope Restored couples. And then Greg and Aaron have shared a lot of great insights to stay connected as a couple in their book, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, which kind of encapsulates all those 10 traits in the marriage assessment and goes deeper. So a lot of great resources for you. We want your marriage to thrive. We're a click away or a phone call away. Stop by the show notes or call 800, the letter A in the word family. Well, next time we'll discuss how to make this the best Valentine's Day ever. And for now, on behalf of Greg and Aaron Smalley and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Loving Well Podcast.